I would ask you at this time to turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We have been in an Advent series. Advent is a Latin word meaning coming or come to. Ordinarily a season in which we remember and rejoice in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which we also look to his coming again in glory, and to take us to be with him forever. And ordinarily, there are four prominent themes for Advent, and we're going to be looking at one of them today. It's joy. And the last one, love, we will be looking at next week, God willing. So we want to look at this theme of joy today, and to do so, we'll be looking at Luke chapter 2, and the angel's announcement regarding the birth of Jesus Christ. So Luke chapter 2, we'll be reading verses 10 and 11. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." 3 points to the sermon this morning, excuse me. 3 points to the sermon this morning on joy. First of all, joy defined. Secondly, joy delivered. And thirdly, joy detailed. So defined, delivered, and detailed. We hear much around the Christmas season of joy. It's a season of joy. We sang rejoice, joy to the world. There are cards that go out with the theme of joy. There are songs that are sung with the theme of joy. It seems to permeate the atmosphere at this time of year. However, what is joy? It's a valid question. And once you understand what it is, how do you get it? And perhaps even more important, how do you keep it in the midst of a world that's filled with suffering and misery, such as is evident in our culture, in our society, and in our world today? So, first of all, joy defined. What is joy? C.S. Lewis wrote, "Joy is an unsatisfied desire, which is itself more desirable than any other satisfaction." He continued by saying, "It must be sharply distinguished from happiness and from pleasure." Now, I suspect that if you ask 10 people on the street today what is joy, they would associate it with happiness. It seems to be the prominent thing on most people's minds, is that somehow we must be happy, and therefore joy is happiness. And if not happiness, then joy most certainly must be pleasure. However, that is not how the Bible defines joy. Joy is a prominent theme in the Bible. It's not minimal in any way. It's mentioned over 400 times. As a matter of fact, there's a whole book in the New Testament that's given to joy. That's the book of Philippians. You may recall the famous passage from the book of Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord." I say it again, rejoice. Joy and rejoicing are the prominent theme in the entire book of Philippians. And as the Bible delineates joy in all of those references, it is distinguished from happiness and from pleasure. And the reason for that is both happiness and pleasure depend on circumstances. It depends on the circumstances in which you find yourself. And happiness and pleasure are often have to do with material well-being. But that is not joy in the Bible, as is seen or exemplified in the person of Paul in the book I previously mentioned, the book of Philippians. Paul, as he writes Philippians, is in prison. And prison in biblical times was not like prison today. You didn't get three hots and a cot. Prison didn't have universal weight machines or color TVs or cable TV. Prison in Bible times were very much like prisons that I came into contact with. Not because I was in one, don't misunderstand, but that I became familiar with in Saudi Arabia when I lived there for a few years. If you went to jail in Saudi Arabia, they gave you a pot, and that was it. You didn't even get food. You were dependent on family, friends, or your employer to bring you your daily provisions. That was it. And that was very much like what jails or prisons were like in Bible times. And Paul, as he writes the book of Philippians, as he writes that letter to the church at Philippi, can say rejoice and rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice and have the prominent theme of that letter, even though he's in prison. It was not dependent on his circumstances. It certainly was not pleasurable to be in prison in Bible times. And yet he can say rejoice. So very clearly distinguished from both happiness and pleasure. Paul goes on in the book of Philippians to say, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I have learned to be content in plenty when I have a lot. I've learned to be content in little when I have very little. And he goes on to talk about being content. It was not circumstantial. It was not something that was material. He could be content with little. And he could be content even when he was suffering, when he was persecuted, when he was beaten with rods, when he was stoned, when he was whipped, when he was left for dead, when he was shipwrecked, throughout the entirety of his Christian life and itinerant ministry, we see that he could be joyful. So, clearly distinguished from happiness and from pleasure, as C.S. Lewis says, joy in the Bible is something that is spiritual. Joy in the Bible is a quality of life. It's not a fleeting emotion. It's a quality of life. And fullness of joy comes when there is a deep sense of the presence of God in one's life. That's when one can be joyful. It's why Paul, even in the midst of his being in prison, even in the midst of his suffering, persecution, even in the midst of his hardships and difficulties, even in his little, even in his want, he could be content and he could be joyful because his joy was something that came from the presence of God in his life, that he knew that the Lord was with him. So I would ask you this morning, are you joyful as we enter into this season of joy, as we enter into this time when songs have titles such as Joy to the World and Rejoice, the Lord is King? Are you joyful? Are you joyful? Or are you merely happy? Or are you pleased? Not that those are bad things, don't misunderstand me. But are you joyful? Can you joyfully celebrate this season of joy, which is Christmas? Well, joy defined. What is joy delivered? Well, look at our text, if you will. Verse 10. The angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Joy is delivered. Joy is something which comes from God. He brings good news of great joy from God to his hearers then and to you and me today. So joy is something that is delivered. It's not found by seeking it as an end in itself. Many people have spent their lives chasing after joy only to find that it's a phantom, that it is continually elusive, that it is ever escaping their grasp. Because it's not something that is found by seeking it as an end in itself. God has to give it. And joy, when God gives it, is received by faith. It's received by faith with the gift of salvation. Notice, I bring you good news. That word there is gospel. I bring you gospel of great joy. Joy is delivered by God. The message comes from God to us, all right? And it's received by faith with the gift of salvation. I'd like to examine this with you, if you will, by looking at a number of passages that spell this out in some detail in the book of Psalms. So turn to the book of Psalms, if you would, to shed some light on what it is that I am trying to convey here. Psalm 5, for example. Psalm 5 and verse 11. We'll look at a number of verses here in the Psalms. Psalm 5 and verse 11. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. Or look at Psalm 13, verse 5. Psalm 13, verse 5. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Joy is delivered by God. It's received with the hand of faith, with the gift of salvation. Look at Psalm 20, verse 5. Psalm 20, verse 5. May we shout for joy over your salvation, and in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Or Psalm 21. Verses 1 and 6, Psalm 21, verse 1. O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exults. And verse 6 as well. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. A deep sense of the presence of God in one's life. The psalmist, Paul. Psalm 33 also, Psalm 33, verse 21. Psalm 33, verse 21. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Something received by faith, by trusting in the Lord, in his salvation, in his presence. Psalm 35, couple more. Psalm 35, verse 9. Psalm 35, verse 9. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exulting in his salvation. And then last one, Psalm 40 and verse 16. Psalm 40 and verse 16. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. So what is joy? Fullness of joy comes when there's a deep sense of the presence of God in one's life. It is received by faith with the gift of salvation. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Joy comes with God's presence. And very important. You can't experience joy while you are preoccupied with your own security. You can't experience joy when you're preoccupied with your own pleasure. You can't experience joy when you're preoccupied with your self-interest. That wasn't how Paul experienced joy, the presence of God. It's not what led Paul in prison to be able to rejoice despite his circumstances. You can be joyful, all right, when you are delighting in the presence of God and his salvation, okay? This is what David says in Psalm 23. He says, yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So even in the midst of this fallen world, even in the midst of this world where we are bombarded on newscasts and newspapers and blogs and one thing or the other about the misery and suffering throughout the world, you can be joyful. You can be joyful because joy is something which comes from God that He delivers and is good news of great joy when you receive it by faith with the gift of salvation. Well, let's detail this and spell it out a little bit more, if you will, to be practical, if you will, to be pointed in terms of application. First of all, look at the text. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news." Good news. Salvation and the joy of salvation is good news, not good advice. It's good news, not good advice. In other words, it's good news because it's about what God has done in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. He gave Him to be in the place of sinners. He gave Him to go to the cross of Calvary and to take my sin and your sin upon Himself. In my place condemned He stood, sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. It's good news of what God has done by Jesus Christ's life, by His death, by His resurrection, and by His ascension. Jesus Christ lived the life that you and I have not lived, the life of perfect obedience, satisfying all of God's requirements. And He can give that perfect obedience to all who look to Him with the hand of faith and receive that gift of salvation. So it's good news about what God has done in Jesus Christ, not what you are to do. Very important. Good news, not good advice. What God has done, not what you and I are to do. All right. Why is this important? It's one of those things which makes Christianity unique. All other religions in the world teach what you must do in order to gain God's favor. All right. I'm not going to go through the whole list of every religion. Suffice it to say that the common thread in all the religions of the world, apart from Christianity, is that they all say what you must do in order to gain God's favor, to get in with God, to be satisfied with God, or for God to be satisfied with you. Christianity is unique in that it says you can't do that. It says good people go to hell. It's only sinners. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Jesus Christ came to save those who knew they were sick, those who knew they needed help, those who were hopeless and helpless. Christianity is what God has done to rescue sinners like myself and like you. It's good news. And that's why you need to receive, all right, this good news, all right, with the hand of faith. And then joy can come. Secondly, though, look at the text. Good news of great joy. Note the modifier. Great joy. Now, you'd have to be a very good student of the Bible to know what is being relayed here. This phrase, great joy, is actually very rare in the Bible. Now, I know. A few moments ago, I said joy appears in the Bible over 400 times, all book of the Bible, Philippians. I know. I'm aware of that. I'm talking about the phrase with the modifier, great joy. That phrase is rare in the Bible. It appears only on specific occasions, probably less than 10 times, if I were to count them. Great joy with the news of the resurrection. Great joy on the occasion of the ascension. Great joy here with the birth of Jesus Christ. And why is that? Well, look at the text, verse 11. What is the good news of great joy? What's the content of that good news of great joy, that gospel message? Well, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The great joy comes at the news that a Savior is here. Because he is named Jesus, we learn in Matthew, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is the English version of the Hebrew word Yeshua, or Joshua, as we know it in our English Bibles, which means God saves. All right? And Jesus is called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He is a Savior. He is a Savior, and that is what makes this great joy. Good news of great joy, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, people don't always spell out what it is that one is saved from. But I would encourage you to do this as a helpful devotional exercise. To just pause, perhaps, next time you're alone with God. Or pause, if you're not a Christian and you're watching today. I would encourage you to pause, to get alone, where you can think, be alone with your thoughts, the thoughts and intents of your heart. And say, saved from what? From what does Jesus Christ save me? Well, in a word, save from your sin. But we could spell that out. Save from the power of sin. Jesus said that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Satan has taken men captive to do his will. It's the irony of ironies that people who are not Christians think they're free to do whatever they want, when in fact the Bible says that that freedom is in fact slavery. Jesus saves his people from the power of sin, set free from the tyranny of the devil, free to obey God, to live a life that's pleasing in God's sight. Free, of course, saved, of course, also from the penalty of sin. The Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death, and the soul that sins, it must die. God said to Adam and Eve at the dawn of time in the Garden of Eden, the day that you eat of the fruit of the tree, you shall surely die. And death came into the world and sin with it through that one act of disobedience, which is met by the one act of obedience of Jesus Christ as a substitute in the place of sinners, going to the cross and paying the penalty for sins. He dies when it's me and you that deserve to die. And he gives life and righteousness to those who don't innately have that life and righteousness. And of course, finally, we're saved from the presence of sin when Jesus returns and takes his people to be with them forever. There will be no more sin. So, saved. Saved from what? What makes this gospel message, what makes this good news great joy? Think about it. Think about it. Receive that joy by faith with the gift of salvation, that you might have a joyful Christmas. Thirdly, look at the text. It's something personal. It's something personal. I bring you good news, for unto you is born this day. This is a personal message of great joy. If I could say this with all due reverence and with all proper qualification, if you hear my voice today, Jesus Christ is speaking to you and saying, you can rejoice in this season of joy. You can have this joy, which is a gift from God. You, I'm speaking to you. Turn from your sins. Trust in Jesus. Repent. Believe in him. And you will have joy. Good news of great joy. Personally. But then, one more. Look at the text. It's also pervasive. It's not only personal, it's pervasive. Verse 10. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Christianity is not a white man's religion. It is not a black man's religion. It is not captive to any one nationality, one language, one ethnicity. It is good news of great joy for all people. Jew, Gentile, Luke, who writes this, was a Gentile, all right? For the poor, for the rich, for old, for young, for boys, girls, men, women, for all nations, all peoples, at all times. And Luke, in his account of the life and ministry and death of Jesus Christ, is known for this one theme, that he promotes Jesus and presents Jesus as the Savior of the world. All peoples. This is a good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So, this is the joy that Jesus Christ gives, that comes from God. If you would receive it by faith, then you can rejoice this Christmas. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we ask that you would grant joy to us. We find ourselves often in discouraging, despondent, depressing times, bombarded with bad news from various media forms. We ask that at this time of year particularly, that you would inspire us with this good news of great joy. And let us share with all those who have received this good news of great joy throughout the world as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, who has come to save his people from their sins. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen and amen.